7 years. Preaching at both locations because we church in Pittsburgh, Leesville. Your mother's happy. I loved her so dearly, and I know she's pleased that we have reconnected in the manner which we have. Praise God. Schedule for 40 years. Serve as First Lady of the Brooklyn Church with much distinction and poise and class, and watch it grow from less than 100 to over 8,000. Raised two highly successful children, my son who passes, my daughter's attorney, to still look as good as she does, and as vivacious and have the energy that she has. She has something that every woman ought to be here. Robin, have you brought any books? You brought any books with you? I'm telling you now. I'm telling you. Your name is in chapter 9. It's going to be a bestseller. But if you're going to learn from somebody who's been there, just come out of it. And God has favored her in such an excellent way as my wife, Robin, has been favored. We thank you that my daughter is here, Candace. She's an attorney. My son-in-law gave my wife the ultimate compliment when he moved our daughter 4 houses from where we live. That's major. And one of my favorite young people would just say, "Oh man, it's so good to see you with us today, man." That's Lord Big Son, young brother right there, Zach Child. And it's so good to see you. And then my favorite, the joy of our lives, who's 23 months old, R2. Can you stand up and wave your hand, everybody, man? The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. I'm going to try to preach from the subject, stormy weather. Turn to somebody and say, get ready to preach about stormy weather. Turn to somebody else and tell them, listen. Of the wind as it begins to blow. The clouds are black and angry and are beginning to hide the sun at midday in darkness. Angry waves and the boisterous billows are rolling high across the Mediterranean Sea as the storm makes its way to the land. Lightning is popping and crackling like heavy guns in battle. Verses 3 through 5, 5 through 7 of that 29th Psalm talks about the cedars of Lebanon and how this storm is destroying the great cedars of Lebanon. As the storm begins to reach Jerusalem, the city becomes threatened by a potential danger, and as a result, doors are slammed and nailed shut, and the people began to panic somewhat in fear. This is not just a summer shower. This is not just an ordinary rain. This is a fierce storm. Fierce storm. In fact, as it reaches the land, many of the persons evacuate the city for fear of what the storm might bring by way of damage and destruction to their lives. fierce storm that David saw approaching from the Mediterranean Sea. What were the people doing during the storm? The Bible seems to suggest somewhere around the 11th verse that while the storm was raging, the people were praying. They needed the strength of the Lord, the keeping grace of his unlimited power. And so they were praying during the storm. What were they doing after the storm? Verse 9 tells us that after the storm, the people were in the temple praising God. They were praying during the storm, and they were praising following the storm. Are you going to pray for a little while here, man? Somehow David wants us to understand in Psalm 29 that there's something significantly powerful about prayer and praise. Somebody say prayer and praise. Praying during the storm and praising God following the storm. Praying for God's keeping grace to be with them in the midst of stormy weather. Praying for God's protective covering of them that they might be numbered, not numbered among a fatality in the midst of this raging storm. They were praying on one hand, and then when the storm was over, they made their way to church. And upon making their way to the Lord's house, they were praising God for his keeping power, praising God that they were yet still alive. Praising God that they were not numbered among the rubble and the wreckage of the storm, that they were still on top of the ground and the ground was not covering them. They were praying during the storm, and they were praising God following the storm. Now, this is the experience of David literally. David faced a literal storm in Psalm 29. But this is the experience of all of us at some point in our lives, figuratively. I submit to you, my beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us at some point in our lives will face stormy weather. In every one of our lives, the storm will rage. And it doesn't matter who you are, what kind of connections you might have, who you know, who knows you. It does not matter your educational attainment of your economic level. Into each life, some rain is going to fall. You don't have to do anything wrong for the storms to come into your life. You can be doing the best you can, obeying legitimate orders, living in faithfulness and commitment and obedience to the word of God, and yet find yourself having to face some stormy weather. The storms will come into all of our lives. And sometimes storms can come so unexpectedly. Like Reginald Parker, sometimes you can be getting along so well, reach one of those good points in life when it looks like everything is going fine for you. Your health seems to be good. Your family seems to be intact. Got a couple of dollars saved up in your account, and you're living well and looking good, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, storm begins to rage in your life. Rain begins to drizzle, and the wind begins to move, and it picks up momentum, and then after a while, storm has come into your life out of nowhere. You pray with me, aren't you? Stormy weather that invariably comes into all of our lives, particularly those that come so suddenly. spouse passes away rather unexpectedly. Heart attack. Go to the doctor and you receive, Dr. Reed, an unfavorable report. Your numbers don't look good. Get a report that you're already at stage 4 cancer. House that you bought and you just about paid it off, and all of a sudden it's destroyed by a fire. Total loss of an automobile that you wanted to for so long, and it came to be yours, and now it's gone. Your neighbor, best friend, and I just went through this just last month. One of my finest friends, a young man, Fred Gillens, 45 years old, had a wife, Keisha, 19 years of marriage, and a 14-year-old daughter, and an 11-year-old son. All of a sudden, he woke up and was not feeling well, got down on his knees, and began praying for help, and then before you know anything, he was gone. The whole world turned upside down. Is there anybody in here who's ever had the experience of just having everything just seem to have been turned around? Stormy weather. Doing the best you can, and yet find yourself having to deal with stormy weather. I've come to tell you tonight, into every life, the rain is going to fall. Jesus tried to suggest something to us in John 16 and 33 when he says, in this world you shall have tribulation. But then he goes on in a word of encouragement and says, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Yes, stormy weather will come. But the psalm has a way of speaking to us about stormy weather. Note, if you will, rather glaringly, you find leaping from the printed pages of the 29th psalm, something that the psalmist is saying from verse 3 to verse 9. Look at what it says. In verse 3, it says, the voice of the Lord. Verse 4, it says, the voice of the Lord. Verse 5 says, the voice of the Lord. Rather interestingly, it skips over verse, are y'all praying or not? 6. And in verse 7, it says, the voice of the Lord. Verse 8, it says, the voice of the Lord. Verse 9, it says, the voice of the Lord. I've come to tell you tonight with good news from Psalm 29 that when you're caught in the midst of the storm, be assured that God is right there. Our God is in the midst of a stormy weather. Because it skips over, and are y'all praying me now? Verse number 6, and it says right there in verse number 6, it says, voice of the Lord, 3, 4, 5, and 7, 8, and 9. But in the middle of the storm, God Almighty, he wants to remind us that God will give us peace in the midst of the storm. If you just stay in the middle somewhere, if you just stay somewhere in the eye of the storm, this psalm reminds us that God is right there. And that's what the hymn poet had in mind when he says, are y'all praying me now? The hymn poet talks about it, says, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roaring. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, Reverend Paul Dunbar, to still fight right on. For he has promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. He's in the midst of the storm. If you pray and if you praise, you can sing like Kurt Carr says, for every mountain you brought me over. For every trial you've seen me through. For every blessing, hallelujah, I give you the praise, because he's worthy of our praise and he inhabits the praise of his people. So even in the midst of the storm, are y'all praying here now? Every time I ascend the sacred desk, it matters not where I am. I would remind believers that the joy of the Lord is ours. I don't care how stormy the weather might look, hold on to your joy. I don't care how bleak your circumstances are, how crippling your conditions are, how painful your predicament, how stressful your situation, hold to your joy. Is there anybody who can say, like I say, out of all the things I've been through, I still have joy because God is in the midst of God is in the midst of the storm. Yes! Yes! We will have some stormy weather. But the psalmist reminds us that God is in the midst of the storm. So therefore, in light of the fact that storms are inevitable and we will find ourselves caught with stormy weather, what do storms perhaps say to us? The first thing I want to point out is this. Storms have a way of deepening our faith. Faith is the soul's dependence on God. And if the truth be told, we don't really begin to have active faith until we find ourselves having to go through something. Are y'all praying now? See, as long as everything is going well, you know, the skies are clear and no clouds in the air and the wind is not blowing and things are hunky-dory, so to speak, we don't develop faith under fair weather. It takes darkened skies, agitated clouds to make us more aware of who God is, enabling us to depend on God. And sometimes God has to put us in a place where we can depend on nobody or nothing but God. Has anybody ever been to the place that I thank God for my wife, I thank God for my husband, I praise God for my parents, thank God for my sibling, my children, my pastor? But sometimes in life, you're going to find yourself saying, nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you, Lord, in our faith. Oh, glory. Faith as a way of deepening ourself when we go through some stuff. I've said it before that one of God's greatest evangelists is Reverend Trouble. Reverend Trouble. Reverend Trouble has brought more folk back to the church. Reverend Trouble has put more folk back on the choir stand, back into the usher's ministry, back into worship on Sunday mornings. You see them coming down the aisle, and you think it was the vibrancy of the worship, or you think it was the uplifting and inspiration of the singing, or you perhaps thought that the sermon brought them. No, my beloved, a whole lot of times it's because Reverend Trouble rang the doorbell. Trouble has a way of bringing us closer to God. Closer to God, trouble. If we're honest with ourselves, the reason we are as close to God as we are, the reason our faith has become so anchored in Him as it has, is because we had to go through some stuff. We had to deal with some stuff in our lives, and we can look back and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be where. Faith has a way of deepening. Stormy weather has a way of deepening our faith in God. Then was it not Andre Crouch who says, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times when I did not know right from wrong. But in every situation, I have blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I got to hurry on, but I got to tell you about Job. Can I tell you right quickly about Job? I don't want to hold you long, but I got to tell you about Job. Job had it going on. Seven sons, three daughters, they all died. Servants that stood in every doorway, his slightest desire was their most sacred command, they were all killed. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and they were all destroyed. But after Job went through that, he was able to declare in 13:14, though he slay me, yet will I trust. Can I tell you something else about Job?
His health went bad on him. Broke out with inflamed-like sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He was afraid to fall asleep at night for fear he would not wake up come the next morning. But because of what he went through, he cried out in 14:14, in all my appointed time, I'm going to wait on God until. I'm beginning to feel all right now. Until my cheek. Can I tell you something else about Job? He had three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. He thought they were coming to comfort him and give him some consolation. But instead of comforting him, when they got to Job, they took the role of critics. They began to condemn Job and pass judgment on Job. But Job cried out in 19 and 25, I know that my Redeemer lives because he lives. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to lean on him. I've come to believe in his word. Stormy weather will deepen our faith in God. Not only will stormy weather deepen our faith in God, but stormy weather will push us into action. Stormy weather can encourage us to do some things we perhaps should have been doing a long time ago. Stormy weather has a way of so enabling us to make some decisions that are in our better interest that we might not make without having to go through some stuff. Are you praying now? Yeah. It pushes us into action. Easy times make for lazy people. Are y'all brave now? Let me tell you, a lot of times if everything is going all right, we'll do nothing but just kind of stand still and mark time. We become complacent with where we are. You know, are you praying now? Have a superficial kind of feeling about that. I'm all right. But then all of a sudden, when some stuff comes out, are y'all praying now? All of a sudden, when the stormy weather begins to face us, all of we're then prompted and we're moved and motivated to do something perhaps God has been wanting us to do all along. And it took that trouble to come into our life to move us to where God wants us to. I got to say this to you. Right now, God is trying to bring you to your expected end. God wants you to be the head and not the tail, live above and not beneath, to be a lender and not a borrower. He want to bless you in your going. He want to bless you in your coming. And the Lord told me to tell you today, don't you wait until trouble comes in your life. Don't you wait until facing some stormy weather before you decide to do what God is trying to get you to do all the time. Let the stormy weather move you to where God wants you to be, but don't wait on it. Make your decision to live for God right now. I don't know who I'm speaking to in here. Make your decision to accept Jesus Christ right now while the blood is running warm, the elders used to say, in your vein. Now, I know I've got some people here who don't mind being honest with yourself right now because the Spirit of the Lord is in the atmosphere. He's in the atmosphere. I need some folk to be honest with you right now. All right. You are where you are. In great measure because of something you had to go through. So I need some witnesses right now who don't mind letting somebody sitting in your neighborhood know. Do this for me, if you mind. Turn to somebody in your neighborhood and say to them, I don't look like what I've been through. I want you to do something else, and I'm gonna come on to a close. I want you to do something else for me now. Now turn to somebody else, but be truthful about it now. Turn to somebody else and say, if you only knew. you only knew some of the burdens I had to bear. If you only knew some of the loads I had to carry. If you only knew some of the trouble that I've been through. If you only knew some of the fires that I had to walk through. If you only knew how folk talked about me and criticized me and called me everything but a child of God. If you only knew, you'd be rejoicing right now. Like I'm rejoicing, because when I look back over my life and think things over, God has been good. When I look back over my life, I see how good God has been to me. I am where I am in great measure. Woo! Because I had to push my way through the storm. I had to push my way through the storm. So sometime stormy weather will push us into action. I've tried to say a couple of things to you about stormy weather. I've tried to help you to understand that faith is deepened as a result of stormy weather. I've tried to serve notice upon you that stormy weather can push you into action. It has brought many of us to where we are right now. But the good news of this word is today that no storm lasts forever. That's the third and final emphasis of God's word this morning. No storm lasts forever. Erica, the late, great James Cleveland, Reverend James Cleveland, used to sing this tune. Shall pass. So the word the Lord would have me to share with you on this Sunday morning, if you're facing stormy weather, and if you're not facing stormy weather, I think I better say to you, just keep waking up. Because stormy weather is going to come. So if you're facing stormy weather today, the Lord told me to serve notice and give encouragement to you today to just hold on. Hang in there. Don't you give up. Don't you look back. Don't you turn around. Because no storm will last forever. The old folk used to say, hold on. Attorney I. Levy Johnson, you remember the elders used to say, hold on. Just a little while longer. And everything is gonna be all right. I'm closing now. And as I close this word, Sister Montgomery from the Lord, I'm reminded of a story that I learned some time ago. That the story of a little bird that was sitting on one of the branches of a huge tree. And as that bird sat there on that tree, as if he were in silent meditation, the rain began to pour. And the wind began to blow. And the rain began to pour heavily. And the wind began to blow more fiercely. And that bird was just standing there, sitting there rather on that branch of the tree. And as the wind began to pick up momentum, the limb upon which the bird was sitting began to sway back and forth from one side to the other side. And as it continued to gain momentum and the storm became more fierce, the branch upon which this bird sat began to move back and forth from one side to the other side. And the story goes that a farmer looked out of his window and saw that little bird sitting on that branch and became concerned about whether this bird would be able to survive the fierceness of the storm. So he got himself a huge umbrella, made his way out of his home, and went to the tree and tried to swoop the bird away. And as he looked at the bird sitting firmly on the limb, he said to the bird, in essence, aren't you afraid of the rain that is pouring? Aren't you afraid of the wind that is blowing? Aren't you afraid that you're going to die? You better move from where you are before the storm takes away your life. But the story goes that the bird just sat there anyhow, and he looked at that man as if to say to him, I know that the rain is falling. I know that the wind is blowing. I know that there's a storm that has come my way, but I'm not worried about the storm because I got two wings. Let me say that again. I'm not worried about the storm because I got two wings. And all of a sudden, that little bird began to flap his wings. And as the bird flapped his wings, he began to rise above the storm. Rise above the highest of the mountains until it disappeared inside, out of sight. I tell you, in closing this morning, all of God's children have got two wings. Every child of God has got two wings. Prayer on one side and praise on the other side. So the Lord told me to tell you today, when the stormy weather comes, just take the wing of prayer and the wing of praise. Begin to flap your wings and rise over sickness and sorrow. Rise over grief and pain. Rise over hardships and heartaches. Rise over financial difficulties and insufficient income. Rise over low self-esteem and a lack of confidence. Rise, keep on rising above the storm, because God will take care of you. The hymn poet says, be not dismayed, whatever be tried, God will. God will take care of you. Goodbye. Thank you, Northeast, for what you mean to me. The same David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Oh, clap your hands, all ye lands. Yeah, yeah. We exalt his holy name. He's worthy.